So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. And if you're new to this, if this is your first call of the week, just a reminder that there's two views. So you can go to what's called gallery view, and it'll look like there's a lot of faces and non-faces all on a page. Or you go to speaker view, and you will pretty much have one person front and center, which ideally will be the person talking. Occasionally it isn't, but ideally it's going to be the person talking, and that will be helpful. So we are going to be talking about innovation today. And I did say at the end of yesterday that if there were any questions that had come up from our conversations about insight or our conversations about impact, I take them at the beginning. So let me make space for maybe two or three questions if they're there. And then I'll talk about innovation, and we'll do a little coaching, and let's see what happens. So how do they raise their hands again, Lynn? Is it manage participants?
Yeah, if you go down to your manage, hover over the bottom of your screen, and then there's a little bit for manage participants, and there'll be a little button there to say raise hand, and then I will be able to see a little blue hand waving on my screen, and I will be able to bring you on. Or you can just wave and I can try and find you if you want to wave.
Or you can just sit on your... Oh, there's Pearl.
Oh, there's Pearl. Waved. Let's bring on Pearl. Good old-fashioned hand waving. Okay, Pearl, I've unmuted you. Go ahead.
Well, I am in the office, so I really cannot talk too loud. Okay. Okay. Innovation. Just right on time. I negotiated a position for next year to manage an office. Okay, literally we have nobody. This is a branch office. I'm a realtor. Michael, do you got any suggestion?
About what?
Okay, how to build an office from the ground up. I mean, my compensation would be, because it's a new office and you only have one, this is the second one, so there is no set salary, but it's...
Okay, I understand. So here, actually, I'm going to give you guys a little exercise to do today that I directly to that question. So you're in the right place. Okay, it's coming. It's coming. All right. Thank you, Pearl. And particularly for now, if you had any questions that came up over the last 2 days, if not, that's fine and we can move forward, but I just wanted to make sure. We've got Visioneers.
Yes. Oops. And where is my...
I got him.
Oh, you got it. You beat me to it. Sorry.
Hey. I'll change my name again. It's Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, I just wanted to... get clear what the three primary things for yesterday were. I had people light up, and then I didn't get the other two. I didn't write them down.
Thank goodness we recorded the call. the three things I talked about as the primary impacts of this work, one was people coming alive.
Right.
You know, and that is really the primary impact. That's the one that people will name their grandchildren after you for. The impact of that is that all boats rise with the tide. So because you're more present, because you're less noisy, because you have more of the life force coming through you, and that life force has an intelligence and a vibrance and an irrepressible creative nature, you're just going to have more of an impact in the world. You're going to make better decisions. You will relate and connect to people more deeply. You will navigate life with more ease. You will make better decisions, therefore leading to better results. So it's the effect of coming alive is way beyond feeling better. And then the third thing, that if you're kind of new to looking at the nature of thought at this deeper level, is that reality starts getting more fluid, which means seemingly dramatic, impossible, or miraculous changes can happen quite quickly because thought is a non-linear universe, and we live in a world made of thought. So that would be my quick précis.
Okay, can I ask one more question?
You can ask. I don't know. I'll see if I want to answer.
How do you integrate, you know, I'm the ontological coach, how do you integrate the body and the body field and the spiritual, the emotional field, these other fields that we live in as well, with the thought field?
Well, it's all one field. And we can look at it at different levels. So it's already integrated. That's not our job.
I love the simplicity of this. It's so powerful.
Me too. Right? Having studied all this other stuff, having 9 certifications in different fields, I love the simplicity of this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you, Andrew. Let me go ahead and move forward, actually, because I want to explore innovation. I looked up innovation. I suddenly realized I've been using this word for ages, and I don't know what it means officially. So innovation, officially, the act or process of introducing new ideas, devices, or methods, the evolution of something which has not previously been in existence. And that, if you think about it, is a huge part of what people are looking for when they come to you. They're looking for, like Pearl said at the beginning of the call, well, what can I do? Now, I'm assuming Pearl wasn't asking me, based on my experience as a realtor, like, you know, what I could do. What she was asking is, hey, what could we come up with in exploration together? That is new, that is different, that is fresh, that might take something forward in a way that it's been previously stuck, that might bring something new into the world in my field, in my area, in my life. And so, you know, innovation includes creativity. Innovation includes creation. Innovation is simply, in my mind, the study of where does the new come from? Like, where was the new before it came into being? And can we go back there and get more of it, please? So I sometimes use a metaphor of a time machine. That if we could go back to the 19th century and bring the greatest things that we've got from now back there, it would seem miraculous. It would seem like we were the most innovative, magical, miraculous people in the world. And people would queue up to see what new innovation we'd bring back each time we reappeared with our time machine. Oh my gosh, they've got a telephone that looks like that. That's crazy. Oh my gosh, they've got this way of taking an image from over here and having it show up over here around the world. Oh my gosh, they have a recipe for pasta I have never eaten before. This is amazing. Right? Now, at some point, some people would become less interested in what you were bringing back than in the time machine. They'd want to go, well, hey, how does the time machine work? What is this thing that you keep disappearing and then coming back with new stuff? And that would be when your client goes from asking you for, hey, what do you think I should do? To, hey, what's the place that you keep going to where these things keep coming from? And probably your most curious clients from the 19th century would actually want to go and see what it's like to live in the place where you keep bringing back all these amazing innovations from. And that place is not really a place. It's a space. It's the what I call the space within. It's, you could call it the state of no mind. You could call it the stillness. You could call it, in fact, it has been called throughout time as the fertile void, the great unknown, the great nothingness, the vast emptiness. you know, it sounds more or less attractive depending on which term you use to describe it, but we're all describing that place before the creation of form. That's where everything comes from, nothing. And that place is actually here now. So it's not really a journey. You don't need a ritual. The second you drop out of all the thinking in your head, you're there. And from that place, from that blank slate, from that bucket that dips down into the well of creativity and innovation, each time you bring it up, something new will come. And what's really cool, like, don't order yet, kids, because what's really cool is that it will bring forth ideas and fresh thoughts and fresh notions about what you're actually interested in. It's not random. It's like our questions are the Jell-O mold. And so the Jell-O takes that shape. Our goals are the ice cube tray. And so the fresh thinking takes the shape of ice cubes. We want to know about opening up an office, so the ideas that we get are relevant to opening up an office. We want to know the nature of God, so the ideas we get are about the nature of God. We want to build a better mousetrap, so the ideas we get are about better mousetraps. Now, the reason that we're not all infinitely creative all the time is because either we don't really know or believe that there is this place of creativity in us, or we think we're looking, but we're not. We're actually just regurgitating and spinning around and around in the already created, looking for something new that we haven't seen before in the old. You will never find the new in the old. Occasionally, looking around the old will drop you into the new. But most of the time, it's just a different direction to look in. So, there are, in the model I'm going to present today, which is just the way it occurred to me to present it today, there are three primary reasons. There are three primary places we look instead of looking to the unknown when we want fresh ideas. There are three obstacles. Her book, Point Zero, which is one of my favorite books on creativity, the painter Michel Cassou talks about them as the dragons of creativity, because they're the three things that get in most of our way most of the time. And the first one is the dragon of product. We're so focused on, will it work? Will people buy it? Will this solve my problem once and for all? You know, will this please whoever it is I'm trying to please? That our attention is on that, not on the unknown. We're evaluating everything as it comes into form instead of actually giving it the space that it needs to take shape and to evolve. And you can check this for yourself. You know, for yourself, you know, where do you kill your ideas by checking to see if they'll work, as if you could predict that future, as if you're somehow, you know, the great psychic. Like, one of the things I love, I work at Hay House, and so I meet a lot of psychics, and a lot of them blow me away with what they can see, but not one of them is actually successfully beating the stock market, right? It's not that we can't get glimpses of the future. It's that the idea that we know which of our ideas are going to work is, it's almost never true. I do know a couple of exceptions. I met the comedian Christopher Guest. Some of you know him from Spinal Tap way back when. He was on Saturday Night Live. He was one of the guys who goes, you know what I hate? I hate when you stick a nail in your eye and you hammer it in and it starts coming out. I hate that, right? He was that comedian. He is the only guy I've ever met who I never saw him laugh, but he always knew what would be funny. But other than Christopher Guest, there's not much point in guessing which of your ideas is going to work. You just kind of have to go with it, go with the ones you like and see what happens. Another reason we don't innovate, another reason we stifle our own creativity, is what Michel Cassou calls the dragon of meaning, which is we start saying, well, why am I doing this now? Okay, so why am I going to the, what is the fertile void? Like what, we try and look for a deeper meaning or a deeper reasoning behind everything that we do. And we get so caught up in the quest for meaning and reason that we just miss the unknown. We just noise up our heads with all these ideas about, well, no, if I'm going to create, I need to know why I'm creating it. I need to know what it's for. I need to know the deeper cause effect. I need to know whatever it is. It's noise in head, and it interferes with our natural creative process, right? Remember kids, right? Remember when you were one or hung out with them? They tend not to stifle that, right? They tend to create monsters and dragons and heroes. And I actually still live here. But when we moved here from England, the very first day, these two little boys knocked on our front door, and one of them was from Italy and one of them was from Germany. And they were like, is this where the British boy lives? And it was like this cute little United Nations formed on my doorstep. And, you know, they were all 5 years old, and Oliver went off with, they'd go off every day to play. And one day Oliver came back at the end of the day and we're like, hey, what did you do? And I said, I played with Nick and Ian. And, oh, what did you play? World War II. And in my mind, I'm like going, oh crap, this cannot be good. So I'm like, okay, well, how did you play World War II? And he said, oh, well, Nick deserted from the Italian army and I deserted from the British army and Ian deserted from the German army and we went off and fought baddies. Like, that's innovation, right? So they had no dragon of meaning. They had no dragon of product. And they also had no dragon of control. They were not focused on, yeah, but if I do something new, what'll it cost me? Yeah, but if I do something new, that how's that going to mess things up? Yeah, but if I go to the unknown, that's like anarchy, right? I don't want, I need to know how things are going to turn out. I need to know what kinds of ideas are going to come forward. And it's just fear. It's just fearful thinking. You know, what we in at drama school, we used to call fear masquerading as good taste, right? When somebody wouldn't try something, when they wouldn't really go for it, it was like, well, no, come on, that's just silly. Yeah, that's just fear masquerading as good taste. What you are looking for is not yet here in some ways. It is simply waiting to come into being, to be brought into being. So here's a simple exercise, because this is, could all get very heady and esoteric. And we're going to take 5 minutes. And if you're listening to the audio, we'll probably cut the 5 minute pause down to about 30 seconds. So you'll just pause the audio and pick it back up. But I literally want you to think about a project that you'd like some fresh thinking about, that you'd like to bring some innovation to. It can be a challenge, it can be a goal, it can be a project. And for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to ask you to, and you can daydream if you're a good daydreamer, but if your mind constantly wanders, you might want to actually write stuff down. If you got somebody with you, you can talk to them. And for 5 minutes, you're just going to talk about, okay, well, here's what I want to create. Here's what I think the answer to the question might be. And you're going to keep going past the end, because you might be able to talk quite easily for a minute or two. You might be able to write quite easily for a minute or two. You might get, oh, yeah, well, there's that idea I've thought of. There's that idea that I've thought of. There's that idea I've thought of. I want you to get to the end of your train of thought. And I want you to get off the train. And I want you to stay there until the next train comes, until the next idea comes. And we're going to check back in 5 minutes and see what came. Now, here's a caution. If you're going, well, What I tried before that didn't work is, that's not it. That's not answering the question of, okay, what could I do? What could I create? What could the answer be? If you're going, well, here's the reasons why I don't think it would work, that's not answering the question. Well, what could I do? What could the answer be? What could be brought into being here? So, do your best, have fun, get it wrong, get it right, and we'll talk in 5 minutes. Okay, so take a last, you know, few 15 seconds to finish off the thought that you're thinking or the thing you're jotting down. Ooh, oh, there we go. Look at that. That was my timer done. How do I turn it off? Anybody's guess. There we go. So I would love to hear what your experience of that was, whether you found that easy, hard, and particularly if there was a certain point where you went from nothing or the old to new. If you noticed, now you might not have noticed it, but that transition from regurgitation to innovation, from stuck to flowing. And also if there was anything kind of cool that came up doing it, or even if, oh my God, it was terrible. We can talk about that too. So again, you can raise your hand through the managed participants thing. And that's just the easiest one for us to track because we can only see 25 of you at a time and there's 75 of you or so on the call. Or if you really want to wave, you can wave and there's a reasonable chance we might see you. Oh, okay. I got Marianne. Let me bring Marianne on. Hey, Marianne.
Hi. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I like that. I can't believe that was 5 minutes. But I'm wanting to create a group coaching program on confidence. And so I started with it and I was going back to what the lack of confidence does. And I kept thinking, no, coming to new things about where you want it to go, not where we don't want it to go. So come out of the toxic. And it started with what I had means the feel good place, but actually I really loved it. And I got into that thing of actually helping others, but ended up with a higher level of awareness. So it was a really nice progression up a slope, but in a really positive new direction. And it was actually just nice to sit and really think, where do I want to take this? You know, it's the early thoughts. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. My very first metaphor for this, I was just learning about the principles and the inside out understanding. And I was talking to a client and I was trying to explain what I was seeing about how creativity worked. And the metaphor that came to me was a laser, but a laser as I make them up in my head, cause I've watched James Bond movies, right? So this probably has no connection to how lasers work in real life. But in the James Bond movies, there's like a light and a bunch of mirrors and the light speeds up and the thing goes as it starts up and then it hits a certain critical mass and the laser comes out. Well, it's like our mind, each time you move the laser in a direction and then when it stops, then it starts revving up and then the laser comes out. The reason we don't get more creative, fresh ideas about things is because we're continually moving the laser. Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that? Actually, do I want to think about this? You know, the last time I did this. And so it just never sits still long enough for the fresh to come out. And that's why something as simple as 5 freaking minutes, right? You know, people go, I don't have time to be creative. Really? No, really? You can't find 5 minutes to give this some thought. And it's so powerful as a coach to be able to sit with somebody and almost like hold their head in one place for long enough for fresh thinking to start to come through.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marianne.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Jasmine. I probably actually, can you see her, Lynn? Because I see that she raises her hand, but I don't see her.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. It was interesting to do. I liked it. I was like, writing and writing, 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 and then it stopped. It just, and what was interesting to me was that thinking that keeps telling me, no, you can't, no, you can't. That's not right, no, you can't. So yeah, I got caught up in the three things you were saying. Mm-hmm. And of course, like, it wasn't long enough for me to actually get into the innovative thinking. So I just wanted to share that with you. Like you told me, you said, if it was just like, didn't work, tell mm-hmm. you.
Well, so what's kind of, the reason I appreciate that, like, and meant it when I said, tell me, is because that's what our client, that's why our clients think they're not creative. Mm. That's why our clients think that they're stuck and the answer is somewhere outside of them. Is because they think they've spent months or days or years thinking about it, but actually they've spent months or days or years thinking about why they can't do it, why they can't have it, why they're not the right kind of person to do it. They've actually probably spent in a month, I don't know, I mean, this is a ridiculous guess, but 5 minutes actually aiming the laser of their creativity and innovation at the actual question. Mm. I mean, I was telling somebody, I have an orchid in my office, usually. You know, I get my wife's cast off orchids, and I was talking to a client whose back was to the orchid, and she was doing what you were describing, where she said, "Oh, but I've been trying for years," and I was like, "No, I really don't think you have. You have been thinking about why you can't do it for years," and mm-hmm. and as a metaphor, I said, "Look, it's like the." You want an orchid. You want to see an orchid. But you have been looking for years where orchids aren't. And I said to her, I said, look at the orchid. And she was like, yeah, no, I get it. I was like, no, look at the orchid. Yeah, no, I get it. I had to grab her head and turn her head. And she saw the orchid. Like, that's what we do as coaches for our clients. We help them settle down enough, hold still enough, aim in a direction long enough, and it doesn't take long to see what they're looking for and to get fresh thinking about it. So thank you, Jasmine.
Thank you.
Lynn, I've got, is Lorena there? Because Lorena, you wrote something on chat. I start thinking what kind of business I want, what I want it to do for me, what I want to be obtained from it, but suddenly start asking, you will get there when your clients obtain what from you? That's the important, what you're going to give to them, and just appear a lot of ideas. So if I understand you, Lorena, what you're saying is that the question itself changed, and it changed in a productive direction as you were going. And that happens too. Right? It's not about, I must control my mind and keep it focused on this at all costs. It's, hey, I just want to open up. Here's the fundamental difference in many ways. People often ask, well, how is transformative coaching different from blank? Now, I'm going to say that 8 or 9 times out of 10, the answer is everything we do is aimed in the direction of more freedom. And everything that most other modalities do is aimed in the direction of more control. Most coaching, self-help, therapeutic intervention are aimed at helping you control your thinking, control your life, control your environment, have more control over yourself, right? This is a freedom game. We're looking to have more freedom of thought so that we can think anything. More freedom of mind so that we can go anywhere and bring anything into being, not just what's within the bit that we think we've got control over. We're looking more for freedom of action, freedom of feeling, not so that I will only feel these things and not those things, but so it doesn't matter what I'm feeling. I can move forward regardless. And so it's just a different direction. It's a different game. I don't know, Lynn, if there's one more out there, I'll take it. And if not, we'll jump into some coaching.
No more hands raised, just a couple of kind of comments on chat, but I don't think they're questions, just more kind of observations. So I think you can go ahead.
Okay, great. Is Amanda here? Amanda J. Hutchings?
I am not seeing Amanda's name. So Amanda, if you are here, you can just unmute yourself and let us know if you're under a different name.
Amanda, no. Okay, so if not Amanda, who else do I have here? How about Kai?
Let me see if we have Kai.
Kai.Kristen is the email.
No, we don't. Now I think we've got...
Now, people, you've said you're going to be...
Yeah, you're going to be here.
I've got a list.
I think on today's list we've got Brianne.
Okay, let's do Brianne.
Okay. Brianne, are you there?
Hi, yeah, I am. Hi, Michael.
Hey.
You know, the funny thing is, when I sent in my question, I think I started to answer it in that exercise. But I can talk about it.
By the way, just so you know, I thought that would happen.
Yeah.
Just generally, that was kind of the point. But yeah, carry on.
Yeah, it's fun that way. When I originally wrote, so I'm a relatively new coach. I've been doing it just about a year, and I think I'm pretty good at it. And the problem I was having was actually creating clients, though. Mm. And so I had a process. I learned a process for creating clients. Then I got into the principles in your work, and the process stopped working. Mm-hmm. because it was based on a certain kind of conversation. And I found I just can't have that kind of conversation anymore.
Yeah.
So it's been driving me nuts. I'm like, okay, I just started to have a steady income from this process, and then it just dropped off.
Yeah.
In just those 5 minutes, and I'll probably go back to what I was writing after this call, was there's just a different way to help them understand the process. I was trying to help them see how I could help them so that therefore they needed to hire me to do the coaching. Now I can just show them, well, this is the process, and show them a little bit of what it's like. And I feel like that'll be enough for them to go, I want more. No, I want to do more. If that makes sense.
It makes total sense. There's are you okay if we mess with this? Cause I'm going to guess.
Absolutely.
Vaguely relevant getting clients to other people on the call.
Brilliant. I love it.
You know, somewhere in the 1,000 people or so listening, there's going to be somebody who cares about
I'm
it.
Sure. Yeah.
So let's just consider that this isn't indulgent. The number one thing that I see that makes coaches, brilliant coaches, and terrible at creating coaching practices is that they don't bring any of the listening, any of the freedom of mind, any of the willingness that they bring to client sessions to what they think of as sales calls, or how the fuck do I eat this month calls, or whatever you call it when you talk to a potential new client. And it really is the same space. It's the same energy. It's the same thing. And I think part of it may even be in thinking about it as creating clients. Mm. Right? So if I'm creating clients, I'm starting with the assumption that they don't exist and that it's on me in some way to make them. Mm. Now, I'm not saying that that might never be a useful way of thinking about it, but it's certainly made up. Mm. Now, I can't tell you the right way to think about it, but I can point out the limitations in the old thinking, and that makes space for some new thinking. So part of it is that usually new coaches are in a rush, right? And so it doesn't occur to them to take the time to let this be an exploration too, to let this be a canvas that I can create my own beautiful, natural expression of client conversations, where it might not work for anybody else, But oh my God, it is so natural for me. It is so beautiful for me. And it's an evolving thing, right? In it's not a, okay, now I know what to do and I stop being creative and I start following the steps. You know, oh, I painted a beautiful picture once, so now I'm going to turn it into a paint by numbers. Mm. Like, you know, I used to be an actor, and one of the things that actors do for a living is audition. Right? In fact, I remember going for my first real job interview and finding it hysterical. Because, like, I would go on 4 or 5 of those job interviews a day, and I would get, like, you know, 1 every 3 weeks. And I saw people, like, going on job interview. I have a job interview. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, you do one of those? Like, every 3 years? That's weird. Like, if you start to see that the conversation itself is an expression of your artistry. It is an expression of your desire to serve. You're going to do really well. And you're going to find your clients, not the clients that fit the formula.
Yeah, the thing that was just starting to come to me in that writing exercise was I've been trying to make this new understanding fit into that template I was having. And I was just starting to get to a point of like, well, what if I could create or be a coach in any other way? Like, what would it look like if I didn't have to follow this process? What would I like to do? What would be fun to do? And I was just starting to get someplace. So, yeah.
No, there's no question about it. Like, you know, I came to this as a leader in a field, right? So for me, it wasn't, I really wanted to make it fit. Mm. I mean, I had a lot riding on making it fit. It the only problem is it doesn't. Because, and I'm not saying I don't know what you guys do, so maybe it will for you, but for most people who have been come in with a particular modality, it's not that everything you've learned up until now was a waste of time. No, everything I learned up until this informs how I coach. But the truth is, living in a thought-created reality is not the starting point for 99% of the modalities out there. Many of them recognize the value of thought. Oh yeah, it matters what you think. Oh yeah, you can change what you think. But not the sort of you know, radical constructivism of the whole thing is made up. And that's the realm of miracles. That's the realm of, you know, with apologies, but if you're going to come on Supercoach Academy, you're going to hear me say fuck a lot. So the holy fucking mother of God insights where it's like genuinely you just are walking in a new world. That's what's on offer. And yeah, I can help you build your business. And yeah, I can help you with your relationship. And yeah, I can help you get more balance and have less stress. But we can take you way beyond that too. Cool.
Awesome. I have so many ideas. I'm excited.
Thank you, Brianne.
Thank you.
All right, Lynn, do you want to give me somebody else who's here? Because like I said, I've got the list, but I don't have the cross-reference.
Let me just check who's we've got here. We've got Verena. Verena, I can see here. Where are you?
Oh, there she is. I see her.
I got unmute. Her. Go ahead.
Sorry. I muted myself again there. Hello.
Hi.
Well, I have to think what my question actually was.
I can read you your question. You can change it. But the question you wrote us was, do I want to become a coach transformation professional, or is it just a nice idea? Like being an author, but I don't want to write a book. I should rather focus on my job and my partner's business to expand that. I'm confused since the coach idea has accompanied me for years now.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good, yeah. Thank you for reading it out to me. Yeah. So I am confused because when I think about this idea of becoming a coach with the three principles background, it's like, yeah, it's nice, but I don't know. Is it really what I want to do? Or, yeah, should I focus more on what I'm actually my money with now, which is also quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Are you, you mentioned a partner, are you in a long-term relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Did you get into the long-term relationship without ever flirting?
No.
Right. And did you, after you flirted, did you date?
Yes.
And then from that, you got into a long-term relationship?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So in my mind, business is exactly the same. This idea of, is this the right business for me? It would be like being in the bar, looking around going, is that the guy I'm going to be with in 30 years? Mm-hmm. Like that puts a hell of a lot of pressure on everyone. Mm-hmm. Right? And it means that you're not really available to your own wisdom because you're off projecting imaginary futures. So you can't answer this question. In my mind, you can't answer a question like, is this the thing for me in your thinking? Because all you can do is imagine scenarios where it works out great and go, oh, that must be it. Or imagine scenarios where it doesn't work out great and go, oh, no, that's not it. And chances are you'll go back and forth between the two, which is what it kind of sounds like you've been doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, what you can do is you can flirt with it, right? Mm-hmm. What you're doing because you're here. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then if the flirting's going well, you might decide to go on a date with it. You might decide, you know what, I'll do the Coaching from the Inside Out self-study program, or I'll do some other program where, you know, I can go deeper. And then if you like that, you might decide, you know what? Let's live together for 6 months and let me do Super Coach Academy. Right? Mm-hmm. And then through that, you'll know whether or not you want to get married. Mm-hmm. Or you know, live together long term. Now, some people do dive in, some people do just know. Right? So I'm not saying everybody has to go through those steps, but we hold ourselves to a standard of knowing around some things that make, we would never try and hold ourselves to with others.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So what are you hearing that? Like, what does that open up for you?
Well, first of all, yeah, I have been trying to solve it in my head. So going back and forth and nothing really changed.
Yeah.
Not at all. And yeah. This idea of flirting with it, it actually means for me that I don't have to decide now what I want to do, and I can look in the direction of what could be a next step in getting wed. Yeah, mm-hmm. So trying, yeah, to. What would be the next step to make experiences as a coach?
Yeah.
And then see where it takes me.
Now, and can you see, you've already, like, as soon as you open up to that, it's like, oh, I could do this, I could do that. Like,
yeah.
That's it, because this is like a universal, right? You'll see this in yourself, you'll see this with clients. We just overthink things. Mm-hmm. And we think, but I've been trying for so long. I've been trying so hard, but all the trying's been in your head, and you'll find that in your clients all the time. And when they get out of their heads and what's underneath their head is their wisdom, is this creative potential, is this source of fresh thinking. And suddenly the world opens back up to them and you get to be a hero. And you might not even know anything about what's going on. You just know how it works. Which is one of the reasons why, you know, transformative coaching and I are in a long-term relationship.
Yeah, great, really. And that was just perfect because right now there was the experience for me, how it opened up. So before, this trying to solve it in my head was kind of two-dimensional, and this new idea that gave me this flirting idea gave me like a three-dimensional possibility. Like something new opened up there, really.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Very cool. Thank you. Let me talk about that a little bit generally, which is the way that people tend to hear coaching and then try and go. So like you notice for yourself, and if this isn't you, you know, don't worry about it. But my guess is a bunch of you wrote that down and went, oh yeah, relationship analogy. Great. I'll use that with a client. Now you're welcome to. I mean, it's not, you know, they, you know, there'll be another one along in a minute in my head. So, you know, have at it. But that's like taking the fruit of my time machine. The point of training, the point of going deeper, the reason there's a Super Coach Academy is so that you can see you've already got your own time machine. And what comes through your time machine will be perfect for you and perfect for your clients. Now, it doesn't mean you can't, you know, I, especially when I was learning, I would share all sorts of things that I'd heard other coaches say. I'm not saying that's not part of a learning process, but you don't want to think that's coaching. Coaching comes from being so alive to, awake to, open to, available to that creative force in you that you can just sit down with any other human being and know that something useful will come through you as you sit with them, just through your being present with them, through your being in the presence of this creative intelligence with them. And that's the gift of this. That's why this is not a job that gets old. Because every time I sit down with another human being, something new comes. Not that I never share the same story or you know, something you would never kind of, oh, I did that with a client 3 years ago, so I can't do that here. It's not that. It's not innovation for innovation's sake. It's just recognizing that there's something that can only happen in the moment with another human being that no amount of thinking about it could bring forth. And for me, that's what I love about this. That's the excitement of it. And that's as true in a sales call, I'm using air quotes for those of you listening to the recording, that's as true in a sales call as it is in a coaching session. See, how are we doing for time here? We could squeeze in, let me see. What you got there, Lynn? You got
Thomas is here.
Like. No, Thomas. I'm saving Thomas. Sorry.
Oh, you too. Okay, we're saving Thomas.
Thomas and TiVo, I'm saving for Thursday. They're perfect Thursday people.
Well, let's bring on, Michael's just been on chat, so let's bring on Michael to see what he's been saying on chat. Michael, are you there?
I am.
Hey, Did Michael. Wow. Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Thank you.
You look like the fertile void.
It's a great place to be.
Yeah. Yeah, this is incredible. This is the literal blank page of creativity we're looking at right now. That's amazing.
Hello there.
Well, formless. And we had form for a minute.
Yep, you did. I put that
there. And form. Okay.
Okay, so I don't know.
The creative process in a visual metaphor.
It disturbs me to watch me talk. But anyway.
So yeah, what would the question or the subject be? What are we talking about?
Well, I mean, I've been listening, and it seems, and I'm always listening for how to forward the action. Now, how, if we're looking for clients, which seems to be, and listening to prospects go from, you know, prospects go from one, they don't become prospects. I mean, a prospect is somebody that's essentially, in this domain, somebody who's a request for coaching before you showed up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm with you.
And spending time with people who are not a request for coaching would be a problem. Lots of problems. Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna jump in partly because we're just coming towards the end, and I want to interact, but partly because I don't, like, there's so much in the way you're talking about it that for me would make it very difficult. So let me just highlight that and you tell me what comes of that for you, because it might work perfectly for you. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, as I'm trying this on in my head, I'm getting stuck. So the first thing,
I guess, is everyone a request for coaching in our lives?
Okay. All right. So is everyone a request for coaching in our lives? Well, in my mind, no. Yeah. If I'm thinking of coaching as a profession where people are going to exchange their time and money for my time and expertise, when I sit with people, does it often occur to me something that I might be able to help them with? Often.
Yeah.
But that's why this whole prospect model doesn't work for me.
Well, I understand that. So it's just that the people we're looking for are looking for us. And if you just happen to be in the right place with somebody and you're open to receiving who they are, then coaching is possible. But it takes both people, yes, to participate.
Well, okay. Okay, and I'm going to have to go abstract here, Michael, because I'm not sure that I'm on the same page with you. So just forgive me up front. I'm going to talk about what that sparked in me, which may or may not address where you're going. But, hopefully it will be relevant and it will be of some use. There's one of the things that I see, particularly new coaches get themselves into trouble with, is trying to coach before they have a client in the room. So, you know, they've got this great new understanding and they just want everyone to have it. So they just start telling everybody around them, you know, that's just your thinking. and essentially pissing off everyone that they know.
Sure.
There is, for me, a real value in clarity of relationship around coaching. And I'll give you a very specific example. My best friend and I, it's Wednesday night, every Wednesday night since pretty much 1990, he and I have gone for a hike, a late night hike. And once we got wives and dogs and, you know, the dogs started coming with us. But we've done that. That has been a relationship that has spanned, actually it was since 1987, I think we started doing it. So we're coming up on 29 years of having this talk and walk about life. And he said to me once, God, I really love the fact that I get to, you know, consult with one of the world's great coaches, you know, every week. And I said to him, and it was, I meant it. I said, you don't think I coach you, do you? And he said, well, what do you mean? I talk about what's going on in my life and you share things about what you think might be helpful. And I said, yeah, but that's not coaching. That's like, you know, two guys in a bar having a chat about life. And he said, well, what's coaching? And I said, do you really want to know? Do you really want to experience that? And he was like, you know, a little taken aback. And he was like, well, sure. Well, when I had permission to coach, I started calling him on his shit, right? As his friend, I'm not going to call him on that. As his friend, I'm going to let him live in his self-created world of delusion as much as he wants to. That's his life. But as your coach, there's a contract that we're entering into, whether it's written as a contract or not, that I'm here to unleash the best in you. That the point of our relationship, the goal of our relationship, is to awaken the best in you, to help you clear away all the crap that's on top of it. So, like I loved one of the participants in the productivity weekend we taught last weekend. Use the analogy that, well, like, look, no matter how good you are in life, sometimes you're the windshield and sometimes you're the bug, right? Well, right. What my agreement with you as a coach is that I'm gonna show you how to be the windshield more of the time and how to handle it with more grace and bounce back more quickly when you're the bug. Now, that's not to say I won't offer advice to you when we're not in a coaching relationship, that I won't suggest something to you if it occurs to me. But I don't have a commitment to it. And that's what makes a coaching relationship not a paid friendship, which is what it can sometimes seem like, or what it can sometimes become. So as I say, Michael, I don't know whether that speaks to what you were originally speaking to.
Well, it does, because it actually moves in the direction of what I was trying to say, is that the difficulty is exactly what you pointed at, in that the relationship, the coaching relationship, has a tendency to sometimes move into the friend relationship or vice versa.
So can I ask, again, and I'm only jumping in because of time, but may I offer you a piece of coaching?
Please.
Okay. Tomorrow, are you going to be able to join us tomorrow?
Yes.
Right. Tomorrow, don't listen for how this moves things forward. Just listen.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, everybody. If you want to talk about grabbing one of the spots on Super Coach Academy, talk to Lynn. Lynn at michaelneal.org. Is that where we are?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. You can read more about the program at supercoachacademy.com. And of course, we're going to be back talking about performance tomorrow, and we're going to be back talking about results on Friday. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.